Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. You heard the breaking news, Death Star alert, as once again Lucasfilm and Disney have shocked the internet and given all of us Star Wars fans a reason to rejoice with the Thursday afternoon news that Last Jedi director Rian Johnson is embarking on a brand new Star Wars trilogy that will take us into parts of the galaxy far, far away we've never experienced. I am Mike, and with me, as always, Chris, Rian, and Sam. Guys, this was completely unexpected news. There had not been any hints in the rumor mill, and here we are, all the excitement, so much to talk about. Rian Johnson is shepherding a brand new Star Wars trilogy.
This is the kind of thing, when I heard the news, as a Star Wars fan, there's very few times in life that you have the feeling that we got today. I think the last time was when they said that they were making episode 7 was when I felt this way.
Yeah.
Which is just a complete unknown. It's unbelievable. And it seems like such an obvious idea now, but it blew my mind when I read about it.
How shocked were you that we haven't even seen The Last Jedi and this happened? And what is a statement, or how big a statement is that, that Lucasfilm and Disney said, yep, we love The Last Jedi enough, we're going to give them 3 films?
No, it's 100% going to be the best film in the franchise. Like, they just launched, they just gave the guy a,
right.
I don't even think, Lucas, when Lucas was making them, he didn't even give himself another trilogy for 20 years. Right. They, they haven't even released the thing. I think this is a huge statement, and I think what it says about The Last Jedi is that, it has, my excitement for that film has been, and, is already, through the roof. I think I've already been real confident going into it. And I texted you guys that I felt nauseous since 5 p.m. with just pure excitement. As soon as I read this news, I have felt physically ill, and in a good way. I'm giddy.
Yeah.
The official word right now, sorry, Chris, just so we are all on the same page. The official word right now, correct, is that Rian Johnson is writing and directing the first in this trilogy and then shepherding the rest of it?
Yes.
Right. He's Abramsing it.
There very well could be a chance that he might write one of the other films or maybe direct again. Maybe we'd come back and finish off the trilogy. But so far, the official announcement is write and direct the first film. And then they're saying that he's kind of setting things up for the rest of that trilogy.
Gotcha.
Right. Chris, he'll probably write and direct the first one, and then they'll hire 2 other directors, and they'll fire the third one, and he'll probably come back to do the third one, is what I think will happen.
By the way, we have had a lot of breaking news on this podcast. I think this is the first time that we've been able to be excited about the breaking news and not wondering what's going on at Lucasfilm.
That's true. I'm still wondering what's going on, but the tone is different. What's going on?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this to me tells me one thing, is that The Last Jedi is going to be a super rich movie. And I bet we're going to see some characters in this movie that are getting spun off into another trilogy.
See, I disagree.
You don't think so? You think it's going to be a whole new thing?
So here's what I think. I think that here's what this really shed light on me, aside from the fact that The Last Jedi is going to be very good. It's that we're probably not getting episode 10, 11, and 12. They're probably saying, okay, this is the end of the Skywalker saga, and I feel like this is beginning something completely new. I don't think it'll be a spinoff. I think they're saying, listen, Star Wars has lore. Rian Johnson, go off and do it again, essentially.
Really?
You know, they started with the Skywalkers. We've been following them this whole time. I think that they're giving him the keys to the world of Star Wars and the ideas of Star Wars and saying, please do it again. Create something new again. I don't think that they're going to be connected.
I think that there's Chris, I don't know exactly what your thoughts on how connected it'll be. I'm right in the middle in terms of I think there will be connective tissue, and I think that might be in the form of maybe they love Benicio's character DJ, or maybe we spend time on Octo or see some Porgs again, or maybe Chewie.
I think the fabric of this new trilogy is going to be stuff that we see in The Last Jedi.
Here's the other thing.
I have to disagree with you though, Chris. Sorry to interrupt, Sam. The statement from Lucasfilm and StarWars.com says that we're going into new parts of the galaxy and exploring an entirely new story based on a blank canvas that Rian Johnson has been given. Will we get maybe bits of crossover? Could we visit a planet? Of course. But I don't think we're going to see any familiar characters. I think it's going to be brand spanking new.
I mean, obviously, it'll have a shared history. I don't think they're rebooting.
No.
Per se.
No. I also think the one thing I'm going to say that it immediately made me think of. Now, Mike, I hear what you're saying about the blank canvas statement. I do think that Lucasfilm is, you know, rolling out and sort of unprecedented in the Star Wars world, you know, a carpet canvas for him to work on. But I also, the immediate thought I had was like, what did this guy tell Kathleen Kennedy was his idea?
Right.
Because you got to remember, like, his story has been very reminiscent of J.J. Abrams or Gareth Edwards when they talked about, oh, I grew up loving this. This is my dream job. I feel like a kid playing with the figures that I grew up with, et cetera, et cetera. But the difference is, you know, for whatever reason, Ryan's the one they said, whatever conversations they had, they said, we love it. Go do it, whatever it is. That's crazy.
And that's also speaking of the different tone of what's going on in Lucasfilm. I'm really curious when this idea came up for them. Was this the idea from the beginning? Or was this something that came up when Rian Johnson, they loved what he did? I'm very curious what the kind of the percolation of this was.
It certainly seems to address why we did not hear, oh, Rian Johnson's coming back for episode 9, which I think was everybody's like, oh, that one looks so good. Why didn't they bring him back?
That was the go-to pick.
Because they had an ace in the hole. Like they were because they were like, well, don't worry about it.
Now JJ seems kind of like a call in. Like they were just come do this.
JJ's the new Ron Howard.
Oh no, nothing like that. I'm still gonna hold in my guns that I think we're gonna see some kind of split in The Last Jedi where some characters can go off and do something. I think we're gonna see a split here.
Okay.
But don't you think that they perhaps want to create something that's free of baggage?
No, I don't at all. Really? That's why they're making all of these movies.
Well, but I don't mean free of Star Wars. I mean free of baggage, where they could just completely start over.
I mean, it's not to say they couldn't, but I really think they're going to use this momentum to, like, because they're doing three more movies. I think that's a tough sell.
But so here's
the thing, Chris. I can hear in your voice that you're furious, and I'm not going to poke this bear anymore.
I do want to bring up Kathleen Kennedy was on the Star Wars show last week. There's also a version of an extended interview with her that's posted on their YouTube channel right now where she says,
we're going to get her 2020. 2020, yep. Kathleen Kennedy on the Droids You're Looking For podcast. I mean,
she'll be here.
There you go. Oh, I thought you meant for president. We're going to get her for president 2020.
That's on my dream board, and it's going to happen.
I have heard that Iger is putting out feelers for a run. Well, Bob Iger, which is...
I thought you were talking about Iger getting on the podcast, that he's putting out feelers for podcasts to join.
He's a fan. We've been talking on Twitter.
Anyway, back to the point, though. Kathleen Kennedy did say in the interview that we are going to see more stories of Finn, more stories of Poe, of Rey, that after this trilogy is done, we're going to see them, which goes back to something you were saying before, Ryan, which is, does this trilogy run parallel, not necessarily in timeline, in story, but in terms of time of release, be 1 year alternating with the other, with maybe episodes 10, 11, and 12? My thought is this trilogy might fill in some of the gap, and then we'll get back to the Skywalker saga within maybe 6 years, because they want to take some time off to let it breathe. But I just think that there's too many good things going on and too much of a cinematic universe that they're building to let the Skywalker saga go away for 10, 15 years.
Or do you think they'll like Avengers trilogies? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where they'll have a trilogy and a trilogy and then like a mass trilogy.
Yeah.
Where in the third one they all meet up. You know, it's like when Sesame Street and the Muppets met up in that Christmas special.
But it very well, that's a very good point, because you think about it, is the reason why the box office is so big is that everybody's favorite characters end up in one movie. And so if you bring everyone together, you somehow create a new trilogy, which gets fans just as excited about the new characters as they are currently about Rey, Finn, and Poe, and you bring them all together, and then you get everyone in the theater again. Now, it's a little bit different than the comic
book. I'm already getting
but...
chills imagining Rey, Finn, and Poe meeting these hypothetical characters
that we
that
don't know
who they are, that don't exist yet, that I'm absolutely in love with.
You're spending, $15 already?
I am doubtful. I'll say this. I'm doubtful, although it makes so much sense what you guys are saying. I kind of doubt that they're going to do a full-on interconnected universe thing like with Marvel. That is, I feel like other people have tried it, and it hasn't worked. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be interconnected in the sense that all of this will be taking place in a galaxy far, far away. I think we'll see familiar iconography and ships, and there will be people who know about the Jedi and who don't. There will be people who know about the Empire or the First Order and who don't. I think it could take place anywhere in the timeline we already have seen. But I don't know that it's going to be... What Marvel is doing is like setting up everything that's happening sort of in one sort of linear timeline of events, and the crossover. Like I think we will see maybe, you know, Rey might show up as a figure, a mythic figure to, you know, new character X, who, yes, Ryan, I'm in love too. But
does this mean that Rey is not, maybe Rey is not a Skywalker and she has another trilogy?
I mean, I think if anything, this is a weirdly suggestive. I think this suggests one of two things to me. And Ryan, I'm kind of with you on the idea. Who said they think that this signals like that episode 9 is sort of the end of the Skywalker trilogy? Was that you, Ryan?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, I think that you might be right. And I think this signals either like, oh, Rey is definitely a Skywalker, and they're rounding that trilogy out, the trilogy of trilogies out with that. Or it signals like she's not, and this is really Luke's end. And does he go dark? Oh. Does he go, you know, stay light? Does he remain gray? You know, but like, I have a feeling that they are spinning this thing out and going like, after 20, whatever it is, 19, we're not tied to referencing Luke, Han, and Leia and Vader anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're moving.
This just spins out to something huge.
Yeah,
huge.
Yeah. We tried that with the prequels, right? Where obviously, exception of Darth Vader, but I mean, I feel like that was tried, and maybe this is another attempt at it.
Well, I think that the first thing, literally the first thing I thought when I read this news was, oh, so Luke's going to die.
That was because your first. Really, that was the first takeaway. Wow.
Yeah, really? No, because I thought, okay, they're gonna close out this trilogy, and maybe I'm projecting what I'm actually kind of hoping for. Not that Luke dies, but that this trilogy closes out the Skywalker saga. Because the excitement of this new trilogy to me is that I never would have thought they would do it. It didn't even cross my mind.
That there would be another trilogy
that they started over, and I think that maybe I kind of want them to do a clean break, only because the thought of having a new set of characters that are in no way connected to the ones that I know is so exciting. Because we, as Star Wars fans, being the age that we are, have lived in a world where the Skywalkers have always existed. And we've never had that experience of like, you know, there was one day that Star Wars didn't exist and there was another day that Star Wars did exist.
Well,
this could potentially give us that experience to an extent.
That's kind of a greater point, though, is that if Luke and the gang aren't in these movies, is it Star Wars? Like, I know there are side stories. Those, they still have a twinge of like weirdness to them. I feel like those characters are as core to the experience of Star Wars as anything. And so I think we're right now getting the most extraordinary story of this galaxy from far, far away. And so to move away from that, we have to be interested enough to hear an even more extraordinary story.
But aren't we? We already are. I mean, think about it from our fan perspective. Obviously, we love it. We're doing this podcast. But just the reality of what they've created, if there's the Force, if there's good and evil and the balance that we can see, if there's just the aspect of blasters and lightsabers, I mean, you don't necessarily need to have the characters we've known to make it a compelling and interesting story. And I, for one, would love to see them go completely separate and maybe even be in a totally different time period than what we've known. Go back to the Old Republic, maybe.
Ooh,
I think I'm also hoping for this hypothetical day 20 years from now, where I'm hopefully alive, that that we'll be still doing this podcast, and I'll say to you guys, can you believe that there was a time where we thought the Skywalkers were the only thing?
Right.
That'd be incredible.
You know what I mean? Like, if we see this to fruition, this will become as inevitable to us as the Skywalkers. And that's really exciting to me, if they go this direction.
Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
When this trilogy, when episode 7 was announced, and I think Sam was probably around, I kept saying, like, just as we saw more and more of the production and more of the, like, the trailers and the teasers, the thought I had in my head was Star Wars is only now starting.
You did say that to me aloud.
Yeah, like many this is
through tears, I'm sure. Yes.
Right. But it's like the actual stuff that we don't even know what they can make is on the horizon.
Here's an interesting thing that you can kind of look back again, sort of reverse engineering some of the thinking of this. First of all, it's a huge vote of confidence, as we said, in what Rian Johnson has done. But also when you look at the just immense goodwill and way that the fan community has embraced all of the new characters. Like, people talk about Rey, Finn, Poe, and Kylo Ren as like at the height of the series. They are, I think they are talked about in the same way we talk about Obi-Wan and Luke and Han and Leia in a lot of respects. And then I also think that they told the first Star Wars story, Rogue One, with Jyn Erso. And I think they saw, people really liked those characters and they found that story, really compelling and really tragic. And yes, it depended on the overall narrative arc of the Skywalker saga, but it did not rest on those characters, really. And so when you look at all the little steps that they've tested, what I think they've gotten to a point where they said, we have a visionary director who's doing something we're very excited for people to see, and we know we're confident people are going to love, and we've proven that people are very down to play in this universe with characters that aren't necessarily Skywalkers and Solos, because, we don't know who Rey is, we don't know who Finn is, we don't know who Poe is, like, in terms of, they're not family members, right. It's all this groundwork laid to sort of as a proof of concept to say, I think we can pull this off. I think we can expand this galaxy, and that's really, really exciting.
Guys, I just did some Googling, and I found out when the trilogy is going to take place. It just came out. This is crazy. This is nuts.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready?
Yeah,
it's
I'm ready.
The 10 minutes between Rogue One and The New Hope.
Oh,
insane.
Boy.
Weird choice, but I like it. I think it's kind
of
crazy.
I want to go back to one of the things we've been talking about throughout all of this, is that we knew that Rian Johnson was going to have a huge impact on Star Wars with this one film, but now consider that the imagination of Rian Johnson is going to alter Star Wars forever, because
and the
new
history
direction. Yeah, and it'll alter
people.
Yeah.
The history of mankind itself.
Hey, we know how important this franchise is. Of course it's going to alter all of mankind.
This is... So, when Episode 7 came out, I thought that something inside me broke. And I could feel it awakening. There's been an awakening. Have you felt it?
There's been an awakening. You can even tell, like, with the way we're talking, we're, like, so giddy, we're agitated. Like,
yeah, Chris, I thought you were going to jump through your computer at me before when I implied that the Skywalkers were uninvolved.
They better be involved. Luke's the most powerful Jedi that ever existed.
But I feel like I remember specifically speaking to my friend a week before Episode 7 came out. My friend James, shout out to James. And we were saying, can you believe in 1 week we will know what this movie is? And then beyond that, it'll become a part of our lives to the point that one day we'll like own it on Blu-ray. And we're at that point now. And to think about this new trilogy with these characters that we already love but do not know.
Here you go. I just found something here. This is true. This is not the 10 minutes. This is from Ram Bergman.
The producer
said, "We all love working with Ryan in The Last Jedi." Oh no, this is Kathleen Kennedy. "He's a creative force, and watching him craft The Last Jedi from start to finish was one of the great joys of my career. Ryan will do amazing things with the blank canvas of this new trilogy."
Well, that was what I was talking about before.
That was what Mike was saying.
Blank canvas.
Chris, is this your apology?
Oh dear,
not my apology.
Wait. If you're going to talk about, go ahead.
There was some other news.
There is some other news.
Also texted, and I think we wouldn't be doing our due diligence if we didn't get into this, because I have thoughts about this as well.
Well, so talking about the expansion of everything, I do. Last thing before we leave this, though, Chris, you're reading some of the statements. Did you see at the very end of the statement where it said there are no release dates set and there are no porgs available for comment? What did you do to the porgs, Chris? What did you do?
Or what do you mean?
Oh, wow.
All right, the other big news. We are going to get a live-action Star Wars television series as well.
They've made this promise before.
However, do you know how important this is for the Disney streaming service that they're launching in 2019?
Oh, my God.
It seems a little more likely this time.
Well, if Bob Iger's bringing it up on their earnings call that he did today, it seems pretty well set. And the thing that I really thought is Star Wars Rebels is coming to an end. Season 4 is over. I think Dave Filoni is taking over a live-action Star Wars show.
Oh, man. Yeah, you nailed it. That's good. Yeah. That's a good call.
Yep. That'd be great. Yep. Rebels is so good.
It is.
It is terrific. And that guy, if anybody in our galaxy deserves it, it's Rian Johnson, and then it's that guy.
That guy whose name?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Dave Filoni, you got to think about him in the story group. They've created something in Rebels, which I think, Chris, I told you when I first started watching it, my thought was, wow, this feels like Star Wars, and yet it's totally different than what we've seen throughout all the other films. That was the first time that, you know, I'd watched anything or even anything in the expanded galaxy where I really thought this is still Star Wars to me, despite it being totally unrelated to the Skywalkers.
It's really exciting putting that show on after not seeing it, because you all of a sudden are privy to so much Star Wars that you didn't have before.
This 1-2 punch of these announcements also just is such a statement of purpose from, you know, Disney Lucasfilm. Like the idea of like that promise we made to you, you know. When did the sale happen? Four years ago?
About
something. It's ridiculously recent, but they made a promise of, you know, a Star Wars movie every year, a Skywalker saga every other year, you know, like, you know, episodes 7, 8, and 9 are coming, all this stuff that, you know, sounded so huge and so crazy. I mean, they have now just, they have dwarfed that announcement with what they're sort of, what the possibilities are here with this. And it's crazy. And I also would just say, you know, the other immediate thing I thought of was I was already kind of tracking this Disney streaming service because I'm also a big Marvel fan. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, a lot of the properties that Disney has, I'm a fan of. And so I'm looking forward to what's going to show up. And something, I mean, guys, so we could have an Indiana Jones series.
Right.
You mean another one like young Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
I mean, Lucas
Film has 50 unproduced scripts in their vault right now for Star Wars Underground.
Is that Underworld. True?
Yeah.
There's also 50
scripts and shooting scripts ready to go.
But
there's also the plot of whatever that video game was, level 1313 or something. Yep.
That was the one that just got canned.
And so when you think of so much work that was going in. Chris, that was related to that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was related to the story that George Lucas had come up for a series that he had. I mean, the guy, he scripted it. Which, yeah, whether or not they use those, whether they use them, yeah, as a starting point or not, it's just this idea of, like, the excitement I had for that is now transported into, like, a much more tangible and realistic excitement for something that feels like it's happening.
The reason he couldn't shoot him is the technology hadn't caught up yet to shoot him effectively.
Well, it's here now.
So it's here, the technology is, but do you think the budget is going to be big enough to make it look as cinematic as Star Wars? Are we going to get Game of Thrones level investment in individual episodes? Considering it's on a streaming service, probably not. But you know they don't want to drop off.
No object. I think it will.
I was going to say,
I
don't think money's an object.
I think they will, because they see what HBO Go did with Game of Thrones, yeah, and how HBO was able to capitalize and expand on that. There's no shortage of cash coming into Disney anytime in the next decade.
However, they're really struggling, you know what I mean? with their cable properties. Obviously, ESPN. You have to consider all the money that they're making from different entities that they own, even though they're going to consider buying 21st Century Fox. I think that it's important to realize that everything but, like, the theme parks was at a loss, I think, over the past year. So they've got a lot of money, and they're going to be able to spend it. They know that they're going to spend a lot of money to gain more interest for the streaming service. But they're at a point right now where things are in a huge transition in all of media, but we know that. But, Sam, mm-hmm, I want to throw it to you, because speaking of the streaming services, obviously, mm-hmm, the properties, mm-hmm, that we consider that are launching streaming services, Star, mm-hmm, Trek host we have here, and Sam, what have you thought so far of what they've done with Star Trek in the new Star Trek Discovery on CBS All Access?
I'm so glad. I was chomping at the bit to actually, like, this is my next point. So excellent question. I think that Star Trek Discovery is actually a great, like, proof of concept for, you know, a show that with which you can launch one of these things, and a proof of concept for, like, production value. Because, mm-hmm, you know, I won't compare it to, say, a Game of Thrones, or certainly to a live action, you know, Trek or Star Wars movie, but it looks great. I've been watching, you know, Chris, you've watched the episodes with me, and I think it looks, mm-hmm, really, really good. Right. I think there's investment there.
Yep.
The big thing with CBS All Access is that it's terrible as a platform. And it's one area that I have actually, like, way more confidence in, mm-hmm, you know, a Disney.
Without a doubt.
To put together, because I think, like,
well, look at their current apps.
They've got a team of Imagineers who can put this together, and they're getting all sorts of data from the new, you know, Disney Movies Anywhere, which just expanded to be Movies Anywhere. You know, they can learn and know how to put together an intuitive, user-friendly app with the bandwidth to actually handle what they're going to get. Mm-hmm. And I think when you pair that with the kind of budget, even if they had the budget of a Star Trek Discovery, I think it would be a really compelling Star Wars show. And I think they're going to have, like, 10 times the budget of that
way that the ROI on a Star Wars show isn't massive. I think that they spend $100 million a season, right? Game of Thrones around
like
there.
That. Yeah.
Yep.
Before you're marketing, that's just production. Star Wars, to launch a streaming service, the amount of people that is enough to pay a monthly fee to see a Star Wars show, they could do a $200 million a season show, I think.
Right. Like, well, yeah, they're also planning a Monsters, Inc. based TV show and a High School Musical TV show.
And something in the Marvel universe.
My God, they're hitting the Chris Sturbank trifecta, huh?
right.
And also something in the Marvel universe, which I think is interesting, because there's been all the Netflix series, which have been, in my mind, a diminishing return. And I think this is going to be the first Marvel TV show that actually takes place in the same, like, cinematic universe as, you know,
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does, but it doesn't really interact at all. I mean, I stopped watching after season two. Yeah.
Do you think that Netflix blew their audition?
No, because Disney always wanted to do their own thing, or was always going to do their own thing.
I think they helped them. I think they served their purpose, which was as a proving ground that people, I mean, the Netflix series, for the Marvel shows, you know, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, etc. You know, I did drop off about halfway through Luke Cage, and I haven't kept up because I did feel like it was dropping off. But people love those shows, and people watch them, you know, religiously in the same way that they go to all the Marvel movies. So I think they served the purpose, and they proved they were I keep saying proof of concept, but that's what, you know, they executed that, you know. So
any last,
I think there's also something to Marvel on Netflix hit a bit of a saturation point, because in terms of peak TV, Marvel was not the only game in town the way Marvel is the only game in town in terms of quality comic book movies right now, because DC is not really pulling their weight, obviously. You put Star Wars on television or on a streaming service, in terms of high production value, like super high production value sci-fi fantasy storytelling, like Star Wars is so singular. You can't compare it to Game of Thrones. You can't really compare it to Star Trek, because Star Trek has been on TV for so long that right. A new Star Trek series is exciting, but not the way that a new Star Wars series would be.
Right, yeah.
We've never seen it before.
It's so the first of its kind, yeah.
Yeah, I think it would. There's no limit to how massive it would be.
So many possibilities in what we're going to see in this new trilogy and in the live-action Star Wars show. It is a great time to be a Star Wars fan, to be a Star Wars podcast host. This is what we've all been thinking of and dreaming of for a long time. Last thing we want to talk about before we wrap up this edition of the show, there was a new Star Wars Last Jedi television spot, and we talked about it between a text chain of all of us, where we saw a few different shots, a couple different lines. But what'd you take away from it? I love seeing Luke in the cockpit of the Falcon, especially because it was a great contrast to Han being giddy to be back in the cockpit, while Luke is kind of apprehensive and a little bit even to be shocked to be in there again. And I enjoyed that shot. But what'd you think of that little short 45-second spot?
I personally liked it better than the 2-minute trailer.
Really?
Yeah.
Why was that, Chris?
I don't know. It felt tight. Yeah. It didn't feel that they have a habit of these kind of rules of threes at their trailers where they character, character, character. This thing felt a little tighter, and I really just like seeing Luke in the cockpit. It just gave me goosebumps.
I was thinking Skywalkers are beat, man. I got a new family that I'm following. What's the difference? They're all going to die anyway. No, I thought it was great. I thought that Rey lighting up that lightsaber, whether in the movie it plays out this way, but like seemingly as a confrontation to Luke, was very exciting.
Yeah.
And also Mark Hamill gave an interview recently where he said that Luke is in a place where he doesn't trust his own judgment anymore, which is kind of something that we touched on in an earlier episode when we were talking about what kind of the future is for Luke. So I'm very curious to see that play out.
We'll find out his future in the new trilogy.
Ugh. Oh boy. No,
I mean I love Luke. Whatever they give me, I'll be happy about.
I actually agree with Chris that I do think, like, my in just a pure you know, emotional reaction, I think that this 45-second spot hit me even harder than the trailer did. I love the shot, the wide shot of the throne room, of Snoke's throne room, and you see sort of a little bit, you get a sense of place for some of those shots we've seen of like the red walls. And I just love the color of this movie. The other thing you guys have all already said, everybody's talked about that cockpit shot. And the coolest thing is, like, I've seen somewhere, and I'm not finding it right now while I'm on my computer, but I've seen, you know, side by sides of, you know, Han entering the cockpit and Luke entering the cockpit. Mm-hmm. And the it goes beyond just the actors, you know, performance and their reactions to the space again, but even it's just the way Rian Johnson framed that shot. Rian, you talked about it. It's not a fisheye lens, but the focus on that lens just makes the cockpit sort of seem bigger and ominous, and Luke looks so
28
small.
Millimeters. It's a Spielberg magic trick.
He looks small and insignificant in what is, we know, a tight space. And then, like, the lighting is different. It's such a different mood. And honest to God, if you put them side by side, I'm like, oh, Rian Johnson is such a better photographer, you know, for this film, that it just makes me even more excited for episode 8.
Well, I think that pretty much gets us to the end of this edition of the podcast. We'll be back to talk more. Obviously, so much news, so exciting. Let us know what you think. Send us an email at droidspod@gmail.com, on Facebook, the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast, and at Droid Podcast on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you, get your thoughts, your reaction. Are you excited as we are about Rian Johnson taking Star Wars in a new direction? We'll find out more. We'll be back for another podcast shortly as we continue our rewatch. That'll do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.